8 Days of Hope is supported by a combination of donations from listeners and business partners like Provia. Provia is a manufacturer of residential doors, windows, siding, stone, and metal roofing. Provia is committed to serving their customers and sharing Christ in order to let our light shine before others so they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. More about Provia and their products at provia.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is a very important passage of Scripture. It's Jesus talking about end times. He was asked by the disciples, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, if you are like me, you believe that we are living in the last days and we're in the last of the last days and the Lord Jesus is coming soon. As James says, the coming of the Lord is at hand and things are going to happen in our world before the coming of the Lord. And as we see hatred on the rise, as we see terrorism on the rise and false prophets on the rise, it's just proof positive of what the Lord told us would happen. Now, we're still reeling from the terrorist attack, the brutal terrorist attack that took place in New Orleans on New Year's Day, very early on New Year's Day, 3 o'clock in the morning or so, as a crazed man, a terrorist, an Islamist, got into a rented truck and started mowing down people, killed 14 people, and then he was killed, 15 killed total, along with many, many wounded. It caused us to talk about the issue of Islam because he had an ISIS flag in his truck, obviously letting us know that he was doing this for Allah. And my friend Kirby Anderson emailed me after the program yesterday, and he's written about this subject, along with immigration, Sharia law, many, many subjects. Kirby Anderson is the president of Probe Ministries and visiting professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he is the voice of Point of View Radio. And so I asked him to come on the program as we're going to continue this important discussion. So, Kirby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, my brother. All right, Kirby, so we awakened on New Year's Day to hear of the massacre in New Orleans right on the, you know, the day of the Sugar Bowl, where, you know, so many people crowded in that city for festivities and for the football game, and then this happens. What were your initial takes on that terrorist attack?
One of the things that I remember hearing years ago from the FBI director, James Comey, was the fact that we would have these sort of lone wolves, city wolves. And he talked about, of course, we really have three categories. We've got those who come across the open border, And Jeff, we can come a little bit later and talk about the 2.2 million gotaways and what that might mean, but certainly those are individuals that have come from other countries. You also have the so-called returnees, those who are American citizens who have gone overseas, fought with ISIS, but because they're American citizens have come back and you wonder what's on their mind. But he was also talking about these group of lone wolves, or sometimes they called them city wolves, and these are individuals who, because of, in these cases, both in Las Vegas and in New Orleans, these individuals maybe had PTSD because of serving in the military, had certainly a lot of divorces, financial reversals, and the rest, begin to be attracted to ISIS. And ISIS has had a very significant social media presence. So when I first heard the story of the individual, especially in New Orleans, and then you began to see, Jeff, I'm sure you've seen some of them too, videos of where he was sane in his right mind, saying, how did this man who worked with Deloitte, making a six-figure income, who really was kind of a pillar of society, turn into this killer? And I think it just illustrates again that, as you pointed out, we live in the last days, and people who would never have thought about maybe following some of the depraved ideas of ISIS or jihadis are nevertheless some that have struck. And of course, this is not the first one. We did, and have, in point of view, done some programs on homegrown jihadists, in which you've had some attack synagogues, you've had some attack military bases. And this is just another sad commentary on the fact that we live in a free society and people have the freedom to go watch and to participate in some of this. And ISIS is able to even recruit people in this country to carry out terrorist acts. That's why we need to be praying for those who are in the military and those who are in the front lines, because this is going to be a battle we'll have to deal with for some time.
Yeah, you know, Kirby, I was reading the booklet that you sent me some time ago about immigration, because that's been a big issue. That was a big issue in the election. These open borders, and you have these great little booklets that are very quick reads, but they give you great information. And the one that you did on immigration, I thought was excellent. And you had just mentioned that we need to have legal immigration, not illegal immigration. And you can't just let people that you don't know come into your country, just like you wouldn't let people you don't know come and stay at your house. They can come in with ill intent. And so under the Biden administration, wide open borders, we've let in all these millions and millions and millions of people. We would be very naive to think that there's not going to be a consequence associated with that. I mean, Kirby, if you pull out your crystal ball, it seems like we would be seeing more and more of these, whether they're lone wolves or whether it's a coordinated effort, but more and more of these attacks.
Let's get some of the numbers that come from Tom Holman. Tom Holman is, of course, going to be the border czar. And as a matter of fact, this might be a border czar that actually goes to the border. You know what I mean on that regard.
Yes.
But nevertheless, here is an individual that I'm using some of his numbers because he's there every day. Now, I've been to Laredo and I've been to El Paso, but, you know, he's down there at Eagle Pass and all sorts of things. We have, and again, people might want to write some of this down, 2.2 million gotaways. Now, what does that mean? Because we have certainly quite a number of millions that have come across the border and have actually said that I'm here seeking asylum. But you've got to think about the mindset of a gotaway, an individual that got away and was not caught by the customs enforcement and the border patrol. And that is an individual, first of all, pays more to the individuals in Mexico, the cartels, to get released in another place other than, say, Eagle Pass or a variety of other places. So first of all, they're paying more. Second of all, because they don't claim then asylum, they're not going to then get put on a bus or put on a plane. They're not going to get three meals a day. They're not going to get housing. So these are individuals who deliberately do not want to be caught and are going out of their way not to be caught. Now, we do know that there are not only individuals that are in the gotaways when we do catch them, because we've caught a couple hundred over time that are on the terrorist watch list, and they are coming from terrorist countries. But another issue I want to put to the mix, Jeff, is the fact that there's tens of thousands from China And these are individuals that are sort of military age. And the other day when I had Colonel Alan West on the program, he said, you know, you got to know Xi Jinping's not going to let men of that age to leave China unless there was some kind of plan. So
right.
You've got to, if you're any kind of individual with a little bit of Christian discernment, got to say, these people did not want to get caught. These people perhaps did not want to get caught because they are on a terrorist watch list, or they come from a country where there's a lot of terrorism, or they have engaged in some kind of criminal activity. Some of them actually could be part of a cartel and want to actually distribute fentanyl or whatever it is. But these are the most dangerous individuals, perhaps, of all. Not that we're necessarily going to minimize some of the problems we've had with some of the Venezuelan gangs that have actually right. taken root in some of these cities. So we should be concerned about that. And again, coming back to my little booklet on immigration, there are biblical principles here. Obviously, we are to treat the sojourner and the foreigner with respect. We have those verses in the Old Testament. But we also, on the other hand, say that we are to obey government. And when you cross a border illegally, you've already engaged in one criminal activity. Usually you have to engage in a few more by getting a false passport or birth certificate or driver's license or something like that. And so I think we need to think through biblically this, and especially if we can catch many of these individuals who have criminal records or maybe come from countries that are engaged in terrorism, if we can catch them and deport them, we will have a much safer United States of America.
Well, you know, Kirby, as we think about Islam and what those who, you know, adhere to the Muslim religion, what they're taught, Islam does not look favorably upon anybody that's not a Muslim, and doesn't look favorably upon America. And so as we think about America being a team, you don't want to let somebody on the team that wants to destroy the team. Even Bill Maher commented that, you know, I think it was in, maybe it was in Michigan where they were having a rally, Death to America, in America. That's not the formula for success for our nation.
Well, again, the individual that killed those 14 people and then was killed himself, getting a death toll up to 15, is an individual that actually, in one of his videos, said that he was originally just going to kill his family, and then he realized that wouldn't really send the message, because the message he wants to send is those who will not bow the knee to Islam should be executed. Now, where does he come up with that? Well, again, I would not recommend people reading their Quran for their morning quiet time or devotional, but if you just wanted to assign one task, go out and read Surah 9. This would be the 9th chapter of the Quran. You can find it on the internet. You don't have to buy a Quran, although I've got multiple English translations of it. And you won't get past the first 5 or 6 verses before you already hear this concept of jihad, you know, to kill the infidel. Now, how do you deal with that? Well, the argument that a radical Muslim or jihadist would make is that that was a command from Muhammad, which is binding to Muslims to this day. And those are the people that Homeland Security, the Defense Department, and others are really paying attention to. But you might have a lot of peace-loving Muslims in your neighborhood. My wife and I walk twice a day. We know a number of Muslims here, very nice people. They look at passages like that. First of all, some of them don't even know the Quran, but okay, they may be culturally Muslim, but right. even if they look at that passage, they say, well, that was a command that Muhammad gave at the time, but it doesn't necessarily apply today. So how you interpret, and I'll just use the 9th chapter, there are many others, but you know, certainly you can't get past the first 5 or 6 verses without getting the concept of killing the infidel, and those ideas are in the minds of these individuals who in some cases are coming to this country and are hoping to foment some kind of revolution, because their ultimate goal, and this brings us back to the verse you read just a few minutes ago in Matthew 24, they have an eschatology, but they believe, interestingly enough, that there will be a universal caliphate and it will be run by the Muslims. So just as we are looking forward to the return of Christ, they are looking forward to a time in which they have complete domination of the world through Sharia law.
Yeah, it's scary. It's the one that they are looking forward to is their hero Muslim, so to speak, is really the Antichrist that the Bible talks about, and they will follow him for sure. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking to my friend Kirby Anderson, the president of Probe Ministries, visiting professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, author of 16 books, and the voice of Point of View Radio. And we're talking about terrorism and Islam and how those two things go together. We're seeing it in America. We have seen it. We are seeing it today. And it is a real problem. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I got Kirby Anderson from Probe Ministries on the phone with me, and we're talking about the terrorist attacks that took place on January 1st. The other one was that we haven't really mentioned a lot, Kirby, is the Tesla truck that was exploded right in front of Trump's Las Vegas hotel. That's been deemed a possible terrorist attack. I think they're still doing investigation, but the truck was filled with explosives and camp fuel canisters and fireworks mortars. It was right there in front to cause damage. The driver was in the vehicle killed. Not a lot of information that I've gathered on that one, but lots of things that would cause us and should cause us to perk up our ears and be watchful and pray. Now, this was the comment. We had the Sugar Bowl that was postponed on New Year's Day. It was played yesterday afternoon. Notre Dame beat Georgia. But the comment from... it's the Allstate Sugar Bowl. The CEO of Allstate, Tom Wilson, was just repulsive. And I want to play that for our listeners and then, Kirby, have you comment on it. So here is Tom Wilson right before the Allstate Sugar Bowl.
Welcome to the Allstate Sugar Bowl. Wednesday, tragedy struck the New Orleans community. Our prayers are with the victims and their families. We also need to be stronger together by overcoming an addiction to divisiveness and negativity. Join Allstate working in local communities all across America to amplify the positive, increase trust, and accept people's imperfections and differences. Together, we win.
It sounds like that was written by Kamala Harris. Kirby, your take on that?
Well, again, one of the things I've said is DEI should D-I-E. In other words, we're starting to see more and more individuals that are saying, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion sound really good. As a matter of fact, I've had some people say, well, you know, those are things Christians can support. Well, not the way it's defined. And this idea that every time there's an attack, and you can remember all the way back, because, Jeff, you and I are old enough to remember when there was the bombing at Oklahoma City that led to the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, arguing, well, that was led because of talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh. And every time there's any kind of action by an individual that maybe is either dealing with some emotional and mental problems, or in some cases dealing with a jihadist mentality, that then gives them an occasion to say that we have a polarized country and we should be much more accepting of all sorts of issues in our culture. And I think he would have been better if just said, look, we pray for the victims and move on, because that's, of course, the attempt to try to just once again reinforce this idea of ESG, DEI, and a variety of other three-letter acronyms that are all attempted to try to cause us to not stand for biblical truth. So anyway, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but he's becoming the exception rather than the rule. You're starting to see more and more of these corporations starting to move away from that. And I remember years ago when Vivek Ramaswamy wrote a book about woke corporations, Woke Inc., And he was sort of little known then. Of course, we know who he is now. And I think that book is eventually going to just be a footnote, because so many of these corporations are saying, you know, this wasn't really a good idea to travel down some of these liberal social justice ideas. And of course, you've been talking about that on your program for some time.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Kirby, when you think about corporate America, they have just, it seems like, a limitless supply of money to just waste on these ridiculous, you know, marketing strategies and things like that. I mean, Bud Light, no telling how much money they've lost because of...
Yes.
And
yeah.
Do you ever recover from that?
Bud Light and Target and all this. And again, Jeff, this is something to maybe point out to our listeners. The companies that do this can get away with it because they have very large budgets. If you're a woke corporation, and that hasn't worked out very well for Bud Light, I know we're not necessarily talking to a Bud Light group here on radio here today, but nevertheless, you can see the impact that's had there. But that you can't even imagine a woke plumber, a woke carpenter. You know, imagine if a plumber comes in your house and sees that you've got a Make America Great hat or something like that, say, well, I'm not going to do the plumbing for you, and walk out the door. He wouldn't be in business very long at all. So it's the only these corporations that have very large budgets that can even, quote, afford to be woke, can even afford to pursue some of the DEI and ESG kinds of things, because a small businessman or businesswoman, an individual that is blue-collar worker, if he or she every day got upset, you imagine somebody coming in to clean your house and saying, oh my goodness, I see you've got a picture of Donald Trump. Well, I can't clean your house. I'm leaving right now. They wouldn't be in business very long at all. So it is kind of ironic that once they have a level of success from the free market, then all of a sudden they turn around and want to implement all the social justice ideas, which actually are harming them in the free market. And that's why some of them have finally said, you know, they may not be seeing the light, but they're feeling the heat, and they're seeing that Bud Light and Target and a variety of other groups are all heading in the wrong direction, and this is not helpful for their bottom line.
No, it's not. And it really shows, Kirby, how the devil just blinds the minds of the unbelieving. You know, Romans 1, where it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And, you know, you like this guy, Tom Wilson from Allstate. Well, you don't get to be the CEO of Allstate by being an idiot. But then you say something on national television that's just so idiotic. And it's just so inappropriate for what is going on. I saw a clip from Joe Biden. You may have seen this, Kirby, that, you know, he was just so insensitive. He's like, I got to quit this because we're getting ready to kick off the bowl game. And, you know, it's like, hey, 14 people just got run over. And it seems like, and it was from terrorism. And you're having a hand in that because of your ineptitude as a leader. It seems like you should have more more of a sense of you know, seriousness and the gravity of the situation. And yes, we're going to play a football game, but that pales in comparison to what just happened.
Sure. You know, and again, this is maybe something you've talked about already, because we certainly have on Point of View, and I suspect we will today with Penna Dexter and Kelly Shackelford. The fact is that after the election, you would think that there would be a little bit of self-reflection. Maybe maybe we need to rethink this, and certainly in light of this attack, you think there might be a little bit more self-reflection and maybe a sense that maybe I need to do some other things, or maybe I need to maybe go out and meet day-to-day Americans and see why these individuals didn't buy my product, why these individuals didn't vote for my candidate. And I just don't see a whole lot of that taking place. And that's, I think, telling even more of this idea, professing to be wise, they what? They became fools. And so there's a sense in which I'm seeing Romans 1, of course you started the program by reading from Matthew 24, I'm seeing more of that play out in a way that I wouldn't have predicted just a few years ago.
Right. Well, I think almost every day in the news, Kirby, we see Romans 1 playing out right before our eyes, and people have been given over to a reprobate mind. Their minds no longer function. And they can sit with a straight face in a congressional hearing and argue that biological men ought to be playing women's sports and ought to be using women's restroom facilities and locker room facilities, and sit there and say, well, I can't, I'm not a biologist, I can't answer the question, what is a woman? I mean, it's just insane.
Well, and this is why you've got people like Joe Rogan and Bill Maher and Jonathan Peterson and Jordan Peterson. Height. I mean, all sorts of individuals, Jonathan Turley. These are all individuals, by and large, that were liberal. And in one case, Joe Rogan actually 8 years ago supported Bernie Sanders. And I suspect he voted for Donald Trump. And you've got these individuals, which I don't know, Jeff, if you do, but I find myself sometimes quoting favorably something that Bill Maher says or that Jordan Peterson says or something like that, and it's because they're pretty much on the liberal wing, but they're looking at these leftists, sometimes even Marxists, and going, these people are crazy. So even for individuals who would not agree with us theologically or politically, even they are stepping up saying, there is something seriously wrong going on in this society, and there are some really depraved individuals who are actually self-deceiving themselves about the fact that most of America really agrees with them, but they live in these sort of silos, these little bubbles, and they never interact with the average American people. And it's funny because one of the arguments lately has been liberals saying, we need our own Joe Rogan, because you know Joe Rogan is actually heard by more people than hear any kind of establishment media. And my answer to them is, well, you had Joe Rogan, but you turned him away. I mean, this is a guy that was one of your liberal voices. I mean, not that he was that political, but he was political enough. And he just finally said, these people are crazy, especially on the issue of men participating in women's sports. And he's, in some respects, come over and said a lot of things that you and I would say on our radio programs.
Kirby, let me ask you this, as we talk about Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch, they're not, those people didn't get to those positions of power and authority and big salaries and stuff like that by being mentally deficient. The village idiot doesn't become the CEO. But then they make these decisions that, I mean, it seems like a high school student would say, yeah, that's going to not cause people to buy your product. I mean, who do you think's drinking this? I don't know if you remember, Kirby, when Cracker Barrel kind of came on the side of the homosexual community. And like, somebody posted and said, do you not know who eats at your restaurants? How do you wrap your head around that stuff?
Well, here's a quick answer, and that is, this is one time when I will say I didn't see this coming very well, because our argument used to be, before I did radio, spent a lot of time speaking on college campuses and still occasionally do that, and our argument used to be, oh boy, there's really crazy ideas on the college campus, but wait till they graduate and get into the corporate world, and they will actually change their mindset. Well, what happened was, some of them did begin to confront reality, but the sad reality is there were enough of those other graduates who graduated before who were there in the corporate world who held on to some of these crazy woke ideas, and so now they had some fellow travelers with them, and because they could oftentimes intimidate some of the old guard, and some of them were retiring anyway. You think of individuals that were at Anheuser-Busch or at Target, or we'll use Cracker Barrel, pick on that one for a minute, or Home Depot or Lowe's or some of those. There's quite a few lists there. Then the older, kind of the greatest generation retired, there were some baby boomers who were maybe a little bit sympathetic anyway because they grew up during the 1960s, and then they brought in this young group. And so as a result, they sit around the corporate table, and they're making these statements about, we need to stand for social justice. This is going to attract more customers. We have a whole group of individuals that aren't drinking beer right now, aren't going to Cracker Barrel, aren't buying things at Lowe's or whatever it might be, Home Depot. And so we need to try some new things. There's some others that are sitting around the table thinking, I don't think this is a good idea, but well, we'll let the young bucks kind of have their way. And all of a sudden, you end up with these disasters. More recently, recently they had one for Jaguar, of the same kind of thing, just bizarre commercials that people are just saying, how did this even happen? Well, they happen in boardrooms that are made up of a number of individuals who were kind of the campus radicals who then decided to go into the corporate world and bring their social justice woke mindset into the boardrooms, and it's taken some time for some of the adults around the room to say, wait a minute, you guys really blew it. It's time to get back to what has made this company great. And so that's how it developed. And again, we look at that and say, how could you have suggested an idea like that at a marketing meeting or advertising meeting without at least one person saying, I think this is a really bad idea? Probably there were some people that said that, but they got outvoted. In some cases, they thought, well, you know, these people, they seem to be pretty bright, and they've come from universities, and they know the group, and I don't go on TikTok, and I don't know what X is or Facebook, and they do, so I'll let them make the decision. And they've run some of these companies into the ground, haven't they?
They sure have. I mean, it's just, like we said, I don't know how much money Bud Light has lost, but market share is just, I mean, it's mind-blowing. And it's like, you did that to yourself. Nobody, you just keep going the way you were going, and you were going to do well. But you went outside the box, and boy, it really blew up in your face. Well, Kirby, let me ask you this. We got just a couple of minutes before the break, and then we'll take calls in the last segment. But you wrote a booklet on Sharia law, which is the desire for Muslims. They want to have Sharia law. Just give us a quick thumbnail of what does that mean if you had Sharia law in a city in America?
Yes, well, Sharia law in Muslim countries is where you take the Quran and sometimes the Hadith, but primarily you have an imam, or in the case of Iran, Ayatollahs, that say that this is the way in which you apply these principles in the Quran to day-to-day life. And so in some respects, just as we would have, if you might say, theologians that are helping us understand, as you do every day on the program, take biblical principles and apply them, that is the case. Now, the issue is that that is not good for those who are non-Muslims, because a Muslim has more rights under Sharia law than a Muslim does. Non-Muslim has less rights, and then, of course, women have less rights. But one of the concerns I have, and I'll say it real quickly, is that if you try to apply it in this country, it violates the First Amendment, because you cannot have an establishment of religion. It violates the Eighth Amendment, because that would be the idea of a cruel and unusual punishment. And it also violates the 14th Amendment, which guarantees each citizen equal protection. So there's been a real push to try to implement Sharia law in this country. One of the reasons I produced the booklet is because I want you to understand that if you...
Let me break in here, Kirby. We're out of time, but for this segment, give us a call, 888-589-8840. And we'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28. Or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking to Kirby Anderson, the president of Probe Ministries and visiting professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, author of 16 books and many, many booklets, and also the voice of Point of View Radio, and he has become a good friend. We've been talking about terrorism. We've been talking about Islam and how those fit together, and what is going on in America, and how obviously, all this leads us to pray, because the Lord says, when you see these things take place, look up, be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. And as we see the difficult times coming to our world, and especially to America, we need to be praying. It is a great victory that America voted for Donald Trump for law and order, a candidate that was obviously more law and order, more secure borders, those things that are important to all of us. But we know that deliverance doesn't come from the White House. It comes from God's house as God's people pray and seek his face and repent and call upon his name. The Lord brings revival, and we desperately need revival in America. Well, as is our practice, we like to open up this last segment of the program for your calls. So the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, Kirby is still with us, and we would love to take your call and your questions and comments. So we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I appreciate talking about these topics with Allstate and Islam, because it's about domination. When you don't have any control, when you have no rights, when you have no wiggle room to do anything, you suffer. You're killed. You're persecuted. And as Christians, we put ourselves in a position where we're slaves to God and render our old life dead. But the enemies that we have, they come against us constantly, and we can't do to them like they do to us. For example, Allstate, I had a woman crash into me and total my car. Allstate agreed to pay a total sum, and when I asked for the total amount to include 5 months of car rental, as they delayed their tactics, you know, like the words that were on the CEO killer's bullets, delay, defend, and deny. There's a book out there about the insurance business that just is exactly that. They delay, defend, and deny, and Islam wants to do that to us. They want to deny their worshipers the true salvation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be totally free. But with regards to Allstate, you know, in all of these 50 states, they've since 1977 in California, where they passed the Robbins-McAllister Act, forcing people to have auto insurance or you can't drive. I can't tell you how many times I've had my own car impounded and taken away from me because I didn't have insurance as a young guy. You know, my parents didn't have to have insurance. My grandparents didn't have to have auto insurance. But and I'm sure that a lot of young people will be nodding their heads, driving behind their steering wheel. Hey, I can't pay my bills, but I have to pay insurance or I can't work. And that's why these Allstate guys, they have such an attitude like, screw you people. We have to buy insurance from us, and we're going to do whatever we want to. We're going to shove this DEI stuff right down your throat, and including stuffing Islam acceptance down our throats.
Yeah, it's a big concern, Ron. And Kirby, anything to add there?
Well, again, I just think we have to understand that we are living in a time where we probably have to assert our rights more than ever, and we do have religious liberty. Matter of fact, we probably have more religious liberty now than ever before, because you have at least five, and on some days six, dependable votes to actually defend religious liberty, and that's good, because we're going to need that, and there we should be grateful, as you know, Jeff, for the fact that we have that kind of freedom, because I know you've talked on the program before about believers in other countries who really are completely dominated by either communism or Islam. And so be grateful for the fact that we have still the freedom to begin to fight some of the issues that we're concerned about here in the 21st century.
Yeah, Very good. Well, we have Leland on the line from Illinois. Leland, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning. What I wanted to ask is, I'm being told that there's 10 million illegals come across in 4 years. I don't know if the 2.2 million gotaways is on top of that 10 million, making it 12.2. But at 10 million in 4 years, that comes to 6,849 per day. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. And so some days, if it's raining or, you know, 110 degrees in the shade, then maybe the next day there's 12,000 coming across. Is that possible? And if they're processing these people at 5 minutes per person times 6,849 per day, that comes to 570 hours.
Yeah, I hadn't done the math on that.
You can begin to see what Tom Homan's going to have to deal with in terms of deportation. First of all, having lived in Texas and having been to the border, I was just in Laredo recently, recognize they're not just coming over in Eagle Pass, they're coming over in Laredo, they're coming to El Paso. They're also coming over in New Mexico and Arizona, so it's not just one place. And you said, well, about that many. I remember the mayor of El Paso one day talking about 20,000 people showed up. I think it was one weekend in El Paso. You just got to realize this is just completely overwhelming some of these border towns. But again, there's numbers. Again, I've used Tom Homan as an example because he's going to be our future border czar. When he was asked the other day, how many people here illegal, he says, I don't know. Now, that should scare you a lot when you have somebody that probably would know more about this than anybody else. Or you can, of course, ask the current Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Mahorus. And again, they don't know. And so we don't know what those numbers are, but they're at least the right order of magnitude. And it shows you why we just completely overwhelm people at the border. There's no border security. They're so busy just trying to put people in different parts of the area just to process them. There's no real kind of enforcement, and all of that's going to have to change pretty quickly, and I suspect will change starting January 20th.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Kirby. So President Trump, you know, people have this idea that as soon as Trump gets into office, all the problems are fixed, or at least they're going to be addressed. Draining the swamp is very deep and very wide. You know, he was going to drain the swamp in 2016. I don't think he realized how deep and wide the swamp was and is. How do you see him doing differently this term versus last term?
And it does seem to me that there are some things that are working this time that didn't before, and that is Vivek Ramaswamy, I mentioned his name earlier, has said that some of the Supreme Court decisions coming down have made it a little easier to begin to close down some departments. But let's recognize that everybody has come into office, and I can go all the way back in 1980 when Ronald Reagan said, we're going to come into office. He puts his hand on the Bible in January of 1981 with the idea that let's get rid of the Department of Education. Well, it was still around because I kind of liked Bill Bennett and Gary Bauer that were in the Education Department, and they were going to try to cut the size and scope of government. It's going to be really difficult, but if there is a possibility, my argument has been put together a list that of the various departments you would close down and the various budgets that you would reduce, and have an up or down vote on all of them. And that goes back to something that Dick Armey, who was a representative back in the 1980s and 90s, did with a military base. Because, Jeff, you know as well as I do that if I wanted to close down a military base in one congressional district, who's going to fuss about that? Well, that's going to be the member of Congress there. It's, oh, no, we really need to have this military base. But what they did back then is they put together a list of all the bases that needed to be closed down, and Congress had to give an up or down vote on all of them. And I think the same kind of mindset needs to take place. Get an up or down vote on all of them. We had the Grace Commission back in the 1980s. They weren't as transparent. This time Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are wanting to post some of the crazy things that are happening, where the money's going, some of the departments that are duplicative. And if they get a lot of information out, and they also then force Congress to have an up or down vote on all of them, then you're not going to have the problem of a member of Congress saying, well, I know that we have a duplicative Social Security office in my congressional district, but we really need to keep that. But if they have to vote on all of those, I think you're going to have a better chance of some success. But I'll be the first to admit, this is going to be tough sledding, and once we are beginning to deport individuals, once they are talking about cutting down all sorts of different departments, you're going to have some people really protesting, and that's why the American people not only should be praying about the future of this country, but also letting their members of Congress know that this is something they'd like for them to do, because it's going to be tough sledding, but I think they might have a chance of being able to be successful.
Yeah. Well, anytime you cut things, I mean, that's people that lose jobs, and then it does affect communities and things like that. But those are necessary to get better. You know, if you have gangrene in your body, you got to start chopping off extremities so you don't die. And I've said, Kirby, I know you'd agree with this. You can't as an individual or as a nation, you can't spend money like it's going out of style, like a drunken sailor, and expect that there are not going to be consequences with that. Eventually,
I've always said, they smell money like drunken sailor, which apologies to drunken sailors, because even they don't spend like that. This is, and again, we can laugh about it, but I mean, we're talking about $36 trillion in national debt. And I'm old enough to remember when Ronald Reagan came into office, we had a national debt of $1 trillion from George Washington to Ronald Reagan, $1 trillion. Now we're adding $1 trillion in the national debt about every 100 days. So, people that are thinking, oh, this is fine, you just need to look at those numbers or go to the U.S. debt clock and see those numbers click off every second of the day and realize we've got something that we need to do, especially if we're concerned about our children and grandchildren.
Okay, so play that out, Kirby, for our listeners. Because I don't think people understand. If you keep adding debt, well, they say, well, nothing has changed. When does it become, now you're insolvent, and here are the consequences of insolvency? So play that out. We don't get a handle on spending. What does that mean for the average American?
Sure. And probably what I need to do is I'll put in the mail one of my booklets on this whole idea of cycles, historical cycles, because that's the one where you can say, when I look back at various countries where their national debt was about 120% of their GDP, and we're getting into danger zone. Now, Japan's already there, and some other countries are getting close to it, but there is a situation where if you look historically over the last 200 years, there's only been like one country that's ever been able to recover when your national debt is more than your GDP. And of course, many people could realize this. Imagine if, for example, that you were making $50,000 a year, but you had credit card debt of $200,000. At one point, you'd say, okay, I'm in really bad shape here. But you would say, even if it was $100,000, you'd be in pretty bad shape. And that's kind of where we are. The government can survive simply by printing more money, and one-fourth of all the dollars that exist right now, those are the dollars in your pocket, in your wallet, in your purse, have been printed within the last couple of years. And so when you do that, you've had the problem of what? Inflation. That Bidenomics didn't work out so well for us. And so there comes a point in time where the only way you can survive that is to print more money. This is one of the reasons why certainly the incoming president, Donald Trump, is talking about even creating a Bitcoin strategic reserve, because maybe you could begin to develop some assets on one side of the balance sheet to overcome the deficits and the debts on the other side. But these are kind of big questions that need to be addressed, and these are issues that no matter who is the president, those are things they're going to have to address. So again, it's a very important area for prayer, and it's certainly one of the greatest concerns that we should be talking about, because most members of Congress don't want to talk about that. They just want to increase the debt ceiling, which you're going to do in the next couple of weeks, and they just want to keep spending. And I think right. We're going to have to address those issues to get our fiscal order back in some kind of common sense type of focus, so that we will be able to make it possible for our children and grandchildren to live in this country.
Yeah, good point. Well, Kirby, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out today, as we always like to program, shine for Christ. That's how you live, and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He's had mercy on you. Ask God to give you an opportunity this weekend to talk to somebody about Jesus. We are on this earth to be His witnesses. May we be faithful in our task. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.